Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Kelsey and Daisy, the final two contestants on The Bachelor this season. Listen, when they were shown in like the previews together in the limo, which has never happened in the finale, together in the limo holding hands, I think we all collectively were like, runaway brides? What's going on here? And it didn't work out that way, and they still wanted to like play on like, oh, they're such good friends. Okay, anyways.
But they were roommates.
But they were and they were roommates. But at least we had Gabby, one of the previous bachelorettes, at the finale with her girlfriend. It was very cute.
We love diversity. Okay.
What up, Cabroni?
What's up, Chingoni?
Doesn't it sound cuter that way? We should be Cabronis and Chingonis now.
Cabroni, Chingoni. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a fucking pasta. Honestly. I don't know if I'm just hungry.
Gender neutral pasta.
Gender neutral pasta. I love it. But it's been a while.
I mean, honestly, though, like, not as long as our previous pauses. Like, just know that we're trying.
Yeah. Look, life is real. Life is real, and it's tiring as you get older. But I don't know. I feel like I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. So I'm like, I'm glad we're doing this episode. Like, every time we record, I'm like happy. So I'm like, oh, yay, we haven't done this. Like,
yeah, it's work, but it's not work, which is nice. Like, we've definitely in a place where we're like, we're recording because we want to record.
Yeah.
Like, we want to be here. You know,
we like doing this at this point. Yeah, I love it. I don't know. I like it. I'm having fun. And I want to know what you've been watching. I know they probably want to know too. What have you been watching?
God, I wish I had like something cool, fun, and gay to like recommend and talk about. But if I'm being really honest, I've been watching like this show called Physical on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. It's not gay at all. Yeah,
straights.
Yeah, and The Bachelor, not gay at all.
Reality TV. I love trash reality TV. Love is Blind. Yeah, all the time.
It's also soccer season, so from Friday to Sunday, I just watch soccer. You know, so God, am I even qualified for this podcast anymore? Like, I don't know. Like,
well, soccer is very gay. Like,
women's footy. So, not hetero, I'll tell you that.
Not hetero. So you can always recommend that. Like,
NWSL. Oh my God, what a league. What a league. Really? I love it. Love it so much. And it's now on like 500 bajillion different platforms. So you probably have one of them so you can watch some of the games. I mean, you'll hear all about it on Politos FC Radio. That's my other podcast. It's my soccer podcast. Yes. Go check it out if you're interested.
Tell them. Like, well, yeah, y'all got to go listen.
Yeah, it's been a good time over there too. We get to do a lot of really cool community work and like just it makes you feel good about yourself, you know. What about you? What have you been watching,
dude? I've been watching everything. We talked about this before, but I told you to watch Expats on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you did.
It's like, it's a little gay. It's gay enough. I wasn't wrong. There was one episode where I'm like, are we going to have like a rom-com? Like, no, it wasn't a rom-com, but it felt like it could have been. But, you know, the story's more about grief, loss, and like class. So I thought that was actually very interesting. I was telling Mike that like there's an episode where the whole entire episode is like around domestic workers in Hong Kong. It's all about these, you know, Filipino women working for these super rich Americans or super rich people in Hong Kong, and what that's like, what their day is like. So I thought that was so interesting, and just seeing that side of domestic work in a different part of the world. It's not really different, you know, it's kind of the same, that experience, I believe. And since, you know, it's pretty linked to us, so I thought it was interesting. And, you know, gay enough.
Okay.
It has Nicole Kidman in it. Yeah, and it was directed by Lulu Wang. AMC Queen.
Interesting.
Yeah, our leader, our cult leader. And then it was directed by Lulu Wang. And oh my God, she shoots like this whole thing. The cinematography is like beautiful. Hong Kong is like another character itself. Like it's really beautiful. And, you know, shout out Nicole Kidman being Nicole Kidman, you know. I think she produced it. So it's just a six-part miniseries on Amazon Prime. If you have time to kill, all the characters are frustrating except the domestic workers. They are literal saints in this, and it's not like they get a little story. I just wish the whole thing would have been from their point of view, obviously, right? But yeah, I liked it. You gotta check it out.
You sold me. You know, we talked about doing another episode on that movie. Oh my God, I forgot what the movie's called, to be honest, but it's based on the book Cast.
Yes, Origin.
And mm-hmm. You know, like you mentioned, like how it is in Hong Kong, how it is here, the caste system's all the same. Classism, it's gonna reflect, you know. So I'm kind of fascinated to watch it now. I'm gonna try to make some time and all that. But you recommended another show.
Yeah. Oh, so if you have BritBox, or if you can, you know, find a way to get BritBox, it's called Confessions of Franny Langton. You can watch it not right now, Maitha, on my Amazon Prime. That's why I was like, you should watch it because you can. It's a show based in like the early, I don't know, 18 somethings
period
in
the UK. Piece. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course it's a period piece with like queer women, but, you know, it doesn't shy away. I don't love like stories surrounded by like the story is like about slavery, but I like that it doesn't shy away from like that reality. You know, like you always watch a period piece and you're like, we're all the black people. We're all like, they're still there. We're ignoring the obvious. So like it's not ignoring the obvious. Like it is both about class and race and slavery and what that means at that time in society, in British society. So I am only like two episodes in, but I was like hooked. So like it got me immediately. I was like, oh, I'm fucking with this. This is good.
I saw a bathtub scene once from it.
Yes.
Like on the Twitter. Yes. And I was like, it's been on my list ever since. But I haven't gotten around to it. I don't know. But yeah. They know how to market.
they knew their market. Yeah. They knew how to get the lesbians or the queer ladies. It was like from the jump, you're like, oh, it's gay. Like opening scene. You're like, oh, word. Is
any idea? Is it canceled? Is it continuing? Is it mini-series?
I have no idea. I like, the only thing I know is that I just started it because I think my mom accidentally got BritBox. Shout out to you, mom, because now I'm watching gay things. So
she's for the gays.
Yeah, she's probably got it to watch her BBC dramas, and I'm over here like, two ladies, yes. But yeah, and it was, I don't know if it's getting renewed. I like it. That's all I know so far. And usually sometimes a lot of like the UK stuff gets like one season and it's done. Kind of like Novelas in Mexico, like one season and it's over. So, but yeah, speaking of which, did you see the good news? That says the Gordita Chronicles got renewed for season two on Tubi.
Did it? I don't think it did. Yeah. Because I thought the same thing when I saw the news, and I think what it turned out to be is just that it's getting a second life in that it was deleted from HBO Max completely, yeah, and everybody was like, so we just can't watch this shit? So now it's going to be on Tubi, but I believe it's just that first season.
That makes me so sad.
But don't quote me, like, I could be wrong. That's just the vibe that I got.
Let's see. I didn't read the article because I saw it in passing. I was just like, oh, cool.
Shocked me so much. I was genuinely like, how the... there's no way. Like, there's no way Tubi's going to actually fund a second season of this. And it's also been quite a while for them to be able to continue the story in a fluid way.
That's very true.
I was just like, there's no way. So I looked at it a little closer.
Oh, you're right. You're right, dude. Yeah. I just checked it right now. Deadline said it will have all 10 episodes available March 29th. That's it. So yeah, it got canceled. But we can at least, you know, watch one season. Bring back physical copies. I'm willing to buy seasons of things. I have plenty of seasons of things. I have the OC on DVD.
That's hilarious. I'm not God's strongest soldier. I'm not gonna buy any DVDs anytime. I wouldn't even have anything to put it in. So
yeah, I bought a Blu-ray player just for that reason, because to watch like my anime Blu-rays.
You know this is so off topic, but I saw that like the first ever iPhone in a package was sold for $150,000, and I was like, yo, if I had just kept my $500 iPhone from 15 years ago, I would have had $150,000 right now. Like, what a odd investment.
Dude, that is so strange. Like, I didn't even have... I saw those. I remember the app where the, like, you pretended to drink beer on it. Do you remember?
Yeah. <one? laughs>
This is, like, what, 2004? Nine? 2005?
No, it was later. It was probably 2009, 2008.
Wow. Something like that. Dude, like, I didn't have one until, like, 2016. Like, I was Team Android for the longest, dude. I still prefer their phones, but I just... These are easier to use, honestly. I have my Google Pixel, and I'm like, oh, I fuck with this phone. But, you know. Yeah, shout out to not over-consuming things. If you want to buy shit without, like, ruining the planet and people... and profit off of child labor, like, you can just buy that shit used, which is what I'm like trying to do from now on, is just buy used shit and like not ever buy something new. And like, I don't want any like child fucking labor to go into what like I'm buying. It's just trash, dude. Anyways, the world is on fire as usual. But dude, did you watch Dune too?
I watched it. I think it's so well shot. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, it was a cool thing. I don't think I'm anywhere near as obsessed as most people are, but I thought it was good.
Absolutely. I watched it because it was cool to watch, you know, like, and also I just really wanted to see Florence Pugh do anything, so.
I wanted to see Zendaya do anything, personally.
I see. Well, I thought you didn't like Virgos. Zendaya is very Virgo.
You know, Virgos, like, have a way of creeping into my life, because, you know, I'm obsessed with Beyonce. I love Zendaya. One of my besties here in LA is a Virgo. Mm-hmm. What is happening, man?
It's because you have a lot of Pisces placements, actually, and I think you have a Virgo Venus. Like, I remember you're a Pisces rising and a Virgo Venus, so like,
you remember the stuff better than I do.
Yes, I just know your chart. Yeah,
we have to. Well, this is like a Patreon ad now, because I really want you to read what the fuck is going on in my life right now. It's getting a little weird. So
you're curious. In your Saturn return, right?
No, that's why. It's done. It's over.
It's done. I thought it was over like a period of time. I thought it was longer than like a year.
Yeah.
So you could probably be like going through it still, because like I feel like I didn't stop going through it until I was like maybe like 32.
Really?
33-ish. Yeah.
I had such a good 2023 though.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when I had the whole year of having such a good year, I was like, there's no, like, Saturn could not be returning right now. This is too good.
Yeah, but it could be over a period of time, though, because for me, it was when I was about 32 that things calmed down. Like, that's when, like, oh, I got medicated, everything.
We'll do some research. Yeah,
y'all tune into the Patreon, because, like, I do just know my this chart, like, just offhand, a lot. Just, like, casually. Oh, dude, let's talk about my blind items and your blind items coming out into the media now and Quiet on the Set, the Nickelodeon dog.
Oh, dude.
Those blind items,
another Patreon episode. That's what we've already got up on there, is you talking about blind items that are like some of the stuff that when the Diddy stuff started coming out, I was like, Fred Papita told me about this, like, oh my fucking God.
I told you, dude. And then, like, you told me about Dan Schneider years ago, and this is, like, right when I got into blind items. Like, I got into them because of Taylor Swift, but then you said something about Dan Schneider one time, and then the X-Men director, and I was like, what's that? And then I did my Googles off, you know, pod, and all that shit's coming out now. Like, Cat Williams was right. Monique did a fucking interview and is just, like, spilling tea. Like, everything is coming out this year, and it's wild. I wonder who's next. I mean... I know who should be next, but we'll see. We can have a Patreon episode about that.
Yes. Too. Okay. So it'll be a split Patreon. Yeah. There's a lot coming out, and Quiet on Set, like that. I guess that's another thing I've been watching. There's gonna be another like fifth special episode. Yep. Yeah. So super curious where this all goes. I hope that it all ends up for the better. Like, damn, makes you grateful not to have kids, because like I would not let men near them, anywhere near them.
Nowhere near them, and shit, anyone. Like, I would be
family,
like,
not friends, not allowed.
Not allowed. No sleepovers ever. It's like, ever. Nope. That's why, you know, my guess is not having children. That's just not for me. I couldn't handle the stress of like being a human right now and also having to worry about a smaller human who like doesn't deserve bills, you know, like
for sure.
Oh, like, my god, capitalism is evil.
Yes. To but, cap off hopefully with a little bit of good news, our little banter section, Simple Favor 2 is coming.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious.
Oh my god.
Yeah, out of nowhere. And I know that that was like not gay, but like to me it was like hella gay, because it's about a relationship between two women, no matter how complicated it was. And yeah, they're just bringing it back, and I'm like, that's the only, probably the only thing that I've never been like, oh, that should get a second film. How about that? Like, I'm not mad at it, though. It's just, like, not one that I would have ever even contemplated.
Are they going to make it gay this time? Like, for real?
I mean, know your audience. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you?
Do it for us.
Killing Eve to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Out of all the things that I never asked for, but I'm grateful to be getting, right? Like,
exactly.
It's like finding $5 in your pocket. You're like, oh, okay, well, shit. Thank you. I didn't know I lost for this, sure. But I love it. I love $5 in my pocket. Oh, my God. I'm shook right now. That was really good news. For a very, very last thing, Problemista is out now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our fave Julio Torres from Los Spookies and from SNL, and Tilda Swinton is in it as well. It's about immigration. Y'all go watch it. I'm going to watch it this weekend. Shout out AMC A-List. Again, this is free propaganda for them. Go ahead and go get your AMC A-List.
Free promotion. Yeah.
Free promo always. They don't need to fucking, yeah, I love it. But anyways, I'll stop talking now.
All right. Capped. Done. Almost capped 20 minutes of banter. Hope you enjoyed
it. I know.
No, it's good. It's good. But okay, let's get into our really interesting pieces today. Interesting timing. Interesting content. Should we go chronological?
Yeah, I say let's go chronological. I want to hear what you have to say about this, because I thought it was okay. I didn't like hate it when I thought about it, but I thought it was like, I didn't know what the fuck I was watching, like most of it. And I get what they were doing, but of the things worked and some of the things didn't work for me. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's my description of this movie includes your movie. So Driveaway Dolls is what I'm covering. It just came out in February, and what you're covering today is Love Lies Bleeding. Out very recently, and what we most recently talked about is Bottoms, right? So this is coming together, I promise. So it's not Bottoms. Okay, it's just not. And it's not Love Lies Bleeding, which is, I would argue, on a complete different side of the spectrum in film, in lesbian film, right? These are the two spectrums. There's Bottoms and there's a Love Lies Bleeding. This sits in a really weird intersection right in the middle.
Yep, it does.
And that's what it throws you for a damn loop. So Driveway Dolls stars Margaret Qualley, who you may know from The Maid or briefly on Poor Things. She's a recognizable face at this point. She has a weird accent in this. It kind of sounds like Amanda Bynes on She's the Man.
Oof.
And it also stars Geraldine Viswanathan. I don't know if I said that right. Who was my favorite character in Blockers.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the most underrated comedy movie of the 2010s.
That's her. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. She's so good. Like, she's such a good actor that in this, she's quite literally the opposite of her character in Blockers. She's so different. But yeah, dream come true for me to see her in a queer role, personally. So this film, as I've already kind of mentioned, it's a bit of an indie anomaly because it is star-studded. Like, Pedro Pascal opens the film. Beanie Feldstein is in this. Colman Domingo, Oscar Phenom. Matt Damon. And then, like, a bunch of other white guys that Beanie. You definitely know from somewhere. and then, not to mention, it's directed by Ethan Coen of, like, the Coen brothers. Yep. Which, like, it's so random. I think this is the first time he's directed something on his own without his bro. So, like, for it to be this is really, really odd. Like, the whole thing is odd.
It kind of feels random. Like, it just kind of came out of nowhere, but...
Yeah, and I think it did. Because apparently they've been trying to make this movie happen since the year 2000. And, like, they've been trying to make it happen for so long that it became a period piece over time. So, like, other stars were attached to this, like, big stars were attached to this, and it just, like, didn't happen for them, and they, like, aged out of it probably, right? Like, you can no longer, like, it would be their moms now. So,
With her mom instead of her? I would have preferred it. Anyways.
I mean, for some of us with mommy issues. No, but, yeah, this movie was made through sheer stubbornness and, like, an excess of time during the pandemic, because that's where it found a second, third, or maybe even fourth life. Dang. And they were like, let's just try it again. And then Miley Cyrus ended up in it. Don't know how it happened. Not really complaining either.
Not questioning that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so what is this fucking movie about? The two leads, Marianne and Jamie, which is Geraldine is Marianne and Margaret is Jamie. They're kind of like the gay son and thought daughter duo, except the gay son is like a shy, nerdy lesbian who, for some reason, is like inexplicably like besties with this like lesbian who can't stop getting laid. Like, she, even if she tried, she can't stop getting laid, which to me, like, it was a bit, she's an odd character also because this is set in the late 90s, even though it feels like early 90s. And like, judging by how, like, Jamie treats the world around her, you would think it was 2015 directly following the federal legalization of gay marriage. Like, she is out loud and proud for no reason. I think she's from Texas, too. Like, Fort Worth, Texas. And she's just, like, everywhere she goes, she's like, this is a lesbian-friendly place, right? And it's like, no, like, the world isn't. It's 1999. So... Yeah. She's a fun character. She kind of does the opposite of what you were talking about earlier. Like, they do ignore the obviousness of homophobic America, especially in that time. Because it's, like, walking that line of absurdity, this is a type of comedy where, like, they try to be serious, but in a funny way. But they don't go full-on funny either. Like, it's walking a weird line. And they have all these weird transitions, very, like, hippie. half the time I was like, what is going on? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically both of these, like, lesbians end up in situations where they have to flee down south. And that's not where the coincidences end. They also intercept by accident a car delivery that was set up by some shady white dudes doing some shady stuff. Like, I could get into the details, but there's not really a point.
No, there isn't. There really isn't. You're watching it,
you're like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, like, this is about, like, their personal journeys or whatever, which are interesting but not that deep, if we're being honest, because Jamie wants to get Marion laid, but you know what that really means is she wants to get her out of her shell, because all this girl wants to do is read and go to Tallahassee. So
some reason that's never explained.
Because her aunt lives there. Like, there's not a whole lot of reasoning there. And I'm sure that there is like a deeper meaning because she's reading this Henry James book, and I think this film is like slightly like inspired by a book that he wrote called Drive Away Dykes. And so there's probably a connection there. I didn't look that much into it because I don't think it. That? Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the movie was going to be called, but they didn't let them do it.
Well, yeah. Instead, it's called Drive Away Dolls, but they have it like at the beginning of the film where like they cross it out and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. She's reading Henry James the whole time while Jamie's getting laid by just one after another. Just like, yeah, it's incredible. It's impressive.
Shame from the L word. Yeah,
but like less intense and like broody. Yeah, and probably yeah. like significantly more attractive according to me.
Damn.
I mean, that's just me. I don't know. So they end up discovering, you know, a severed head in their trunk of their car. Just as it happens when you're in a buddy road trip comedy.
You're going to find body parts just because. You're going to find
body parts, some real, some fake. And a lot of...
Yeah, dude. Oh, God, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Many shenanigans follow that, right? Like I said, detail's not important. They're being chased by some shady dudes, and they're also realizing that, like, maybe the reason that they are friends is because they're kind of into each other, because it doesn't make sense, really, outside of that, right? Like, so they end up, like, whatever... sleeping with each other. I'm giving a lot of... I should have given a spoiler alert here. I think it's like not important if you or don't spoil
when you watch the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of them like physically connecting and then being like surprised by it and then being like, oh, more, you know. So and then also just like random little side plots of them being followed by dangerous dudes and like then potentially like getting money. I don't know, it's all kind of odd. If I'm being honest, like it was a chill film. Like if like getting into my actual opinion about it, like mm-hmm. I think it would have benefited for them to lean into the absurd, aka the bottoms area, yeah. a little
just
more
do it just do
or,
it yeah
or raise the stakes higher and like make it a little more Love Lies Bleeding. Either way, the middle point, I think it didn't quite walk the line the way that I wanted it to. It left a lot to desire on your part and on my part.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you got to do something a little crazier, you know?
Yeah. Plot-wise, it didn't, like, do it for me just because, like you said, there wasn't much at stake. Even the scary guy seems, like, easily, like, controlled by a butch cop Beanie Feldstein, like
like very angry.
I liked that they played with like the angry lesbian trope, and I'm glad that Beanie was that trope because I think she's like the sweetest person in real life. Like there's nothing scary about her, actually. Like her vibe is the opposite of mean. It's like, oh, it's like she looks like a soft, kind, beautiful person, and she's the angry lesbian trope. Like, I don't know. And then Margaret Qualley's accent, I know she was trying to channel her mom Annie McDowell, but Annie McDowell's accent is real, you know. And like when it just bothered me. I couldn't get with like the camp of her accent because yeah. I think she just actually strangely enough needed to pull back just a little bit, just because like I don't know, for us we hear these, you've grown up hearing that accent and it's just a little bit off, just a little bit, just it needed a little work.
Like go watch She's a Man, Amanda Bynes, and tell me that's not the same accent. Like that's the same accent. I mean,
you know, exactly. But Amanda Bynes is like more charismatic.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know, I think the likability and charisma of like of Amanda versus Margaret Qualley, like they're very different in that department. And like I feel like Amanda probably could have been in this and carried it, but either way, she wasn't my favorite character. Amanda. I had problems with her character, but Marion, I loved Marion. There's a particular scene that involves like sneak. I don't know what is it called. Being a peeping Tom, basically.
Oh, when she's a kid. When she's like, a little figuring kid. Figuring out her sexuality.
Yeah, they're flashing back to Marion as she's like peeping on her neighbor topless swimming. And it's like, oh, okay, this is what I like. This is funny. Like, I laughed out loud in so many parts of like this, but like some of them were just like unintentional and me going like, what the fuck? Like out loud. I think I did like a what the fuck twice in this because I was just like, that's where this is leading, because it was giving like a, what's that fucking movie? God, Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction, where they open up that suitcase. It's giving that. And but it was missing something for me. I think it was Margaret Qualley. Stakes.
I also think that you're kind of onto something. Like, if this movie had made Jamie a side character and Marianne a main character,
yeah,
and then you find yourself rooting for her, you know, that could have fixed this movie.
Yes,
it could have. So more of her might be a genius.
Yeah,
that would have been really, really cool, because you're right, her scenes were really compelling. You want to see what she does next. Even her little conversation with her coworkers, like rejecting him just outwardly and like changing his grammar, like all of that banter, like she played it brilliantly and it was compelling. Even more compelling than like being tied up by Coleman Domingo, you know what I mean?
So absolutely. And like Marion's character, like that would have been a fun journey to go on versus, I don't know, we cut too much to Margaret Qualley's character. No offense to her, she's an okay actress, she's doing her thing,
I
or whatever,
genuinely,
but
like her, but the character was like really two dimensional.
Yeah, it was, I know it was meant to be funny, but, like, it kind of misses the mark a little. Like, I think she's more of, like, a serious actor, and I think comedy is not everyone's thing, right? Like, I think Marion, she was hilarious in Blockers, she was hilarious in this, and, like, it's something you have or you don't have. I think Margaret Qualley's more of a dramatic actress, and I like,
yeah.
Yeah, her drama's totally great. Like,
and maybe she can cry. Good at comedy, but the way that the character was written and the way that the direction of the character was done,
the writing was weird.
Who knows if it was her fault or not? I don't know, but I know that something went wrong there.
Yeah. But like a lot of the movie was fucking funny, and it just felt ridiculous. And if, like, you know, Bottoms really stuck the landing on being like absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm ready for that. Like, I'm okay with that. Let's do that. But Drive Away Dolls, just, it would cut away to Miley Cyrus dancing, and I get what it was doing. I get that it was like a 70s, like, I get what it was doing, but I just didn't think it was like executed perfectly. Like, there was a misstep somewhere, and I kind of lost interest towards the middle. I didn't really care. You know, the freaking hitmen that were chasing them. I don't know. Like, I was never scared. I didn't think they were going to die. They didn't think they were going to die. I don't know. It was like a okay Scooby-Doo episode is what I would.
Yeah.
It's an okay episode.
But like in general though, I will say if I'm thinking of how Love Lies Bleeding made me feel, which I'll talk about later, and I just need to chill out and watch something like silly, goofy, fun, like this could be it. Like, I'd choose Bottoms first, but this could be it. It's very like low stakes, easy to watch. It's almost like easy listening music, but a film. So easy comedy, easy everything. Like, it's just like, it's a chill little film. You can put it on in the background while you have like a lesbian basement party or something, but
or everybody's taking turns kissing. Yeah.
And then you rotate. Yeah.
Rotate to the right.
Even if that's your friend. So
yeah, that's their whole thing.
Yeah, overall I would probably say like a cafecito and a half, because I did not give one single fuck about the plot. But
neither did they.
Yeah, I don't think they
did. Neither did they.
But I had a good time. I didn't mind watching that, right? There's a lot of like enticing scenes, you know. Like, I was not mad at it, and I watched it again today. I watched it a second time, and I wasn't upset that I didn't feel like I wasted my time. It was very quick, and I did it while I cooked some like food. Like, you know, it's easy. So
yeah,
I did like it. I will say.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm all for let's love, let lesbians have anything, you know, like, so in defense of like okay raunchy lesbian comedies, this is like up there. You know, Bottoms is better, but justice for this movie, you know, I'm glad it exists. So I'm only gonna give it like 3.5 banluzas, because like I was a little annoyed at some of the things, because I'm just like, oh my god, like I roll, like okay, we're playing with the stereotype, but like Beanie's the only one I know that should really be there, so I was kind of annoyed at that, but whatever. Yeah, 3.5 banluzas, justice for all raunchy lesbian comedies, because so few exist. So I hope we get more of like okay raunchy lesbian comedies, like that's fine too.
Yeah, I'd watch another one. Let's do it again. Yeah,
yeah, like I would. Now moving on is like Love Lies Bleeding. I actually really like this movie, and it also took me on a ride, but it was like I wanted to be in the car, you know, like I don't know. It came out this year in March of 2024. It's set in New Mexico. It's like a Southwest desert, I think. Kristen Stewart plays a gym manager, lonely lesbian named Lou. Katie O'Brien plays Jackie, a super buff bisexual, like I don't know, loner who wants to go to the bodybuilding championship thing in Las Vegas, and she ends up in this town. Jenna Malone plays Beth. She plays Lou's sister, abused sister. Anna Baryshnikov plays Daisy. She was in
Dixon. Emily Dickinson.
Dickinson. Yes, that's not her. Dixon. She's a little Dixon. She plays Daisy. She plays like the town drug abuser. Not to call her a crackhead. She's just, you know, she's struggling. And she's then Ed Harris, troubled like kid who has a crush on Lou. Yeah. Yeah. Ed Harris plays the super creepy, like, gun range, gun runner, psychopathic, ring, like, gun runner mastermind.
Drug lord.
Like, he's everyone. He's also, like, Ed Harris plays a really good job of, like, being absolutely, like, playing a psychopath. He's, like master
he's
of
scary.
That. He's a scary dude, and he embodies it so easily, you know? Dave Franco plays JJ, like an abusive man-child, basically, who is married to Beth, Lou's sister. His storyline is, whoa. Anyways, we'll get to that. It's directed by Rose Glass. She also directed St. Maud. And we're literally the same age, so wow, shout out to her. I'm starting to feel old. I think I describe this movie as like neo-noir, like noir. It's like a dark, thrilling crime drama thing. But I also thought it was like an interesting take on like toxic relationships to love, toxic relationships to drugs, like toxic relationships in families. Like the whole movie is just
toxic.
Like, everyone sucks. Yeah, like it's fair to say that everyone is probably a bad person. Everyone's like maligned by something, and those addictions come into play, whether you're addicted to love or to pain, you know, like, or both. But yeah, so it opens up with Lou, and I like the way this movie's shot, because like it opens up in a gym and there's all of these cuts to like fucking muscles, people doing like weights in a gym, and then like I don't know, you see like Kristen Stewart with no muscle. like just
A little scrawny queen.
Who's managing the gym, until she sees Katie O'Brien's really buff character walk in, and like I was like, wow, muscles? Do I finally get this? Like I was like, okay, I see you, Katie O'Brien. Like I think I get it now. I'm like, oh, okay, you fine. I see you. You in the gym. Like this, if nothing's gonna motivate you to go pick up a weight, it's gonna be this movie when you see Katie O'Brien flex. Like you're just like shook. I immediately went to the gym that day. So shout out to this gym. Shout out to this movie for making me go to the gym. But yeah, I really like those opening shots of Lou staring at Katie O'Brien, because there's like a lot of like instant chemistry and like desire, like, and we never really get to see that kind of desire be normalized in movies, where it's like literally Kristen Stewart is like thirsting over this like buff woman, and it's like this whole movie is like beautiful and perfect, and I love beautiful and perfect in the female gaze way, and I mean that both like gaze, G-A-Y-S and G-A-Z-E, like it was perfect. There were so many scenes between them that felt believable. The chemistry was like correct, and like several acts in this that were like, oh yeah, that's like, that's also correct. And that's why like I love when they actually put queer people in like queer roles, because like they're gonna do it right. They're gonna give it justice to me. Like there's none of that like, ew, I'm scared to touch a woman shit. Like it was cool. I lived for those scenes. I didn't live for those scenes, but they were like a nice break from the instant like left turn you fucking make. Like, and it's almost like right at the beginning of the movie when Lou meets Jackie's character, and she immediately asks her if she wants to do fucking HGH, which like steroids. And then you find out that she's been selling steroids in this gym this whole time. And it gets icky fast. Like, I don't know who would agree to do steroids with when they just met someone, or why would you just tell someone to do steroids casually? But anyways, that's how you're getting to know these characters. And that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone in this like movie is fucked up. Like, Beth, Lou's sister, is in an abusive relationship with JJ. I keep saying their actual names, with JJ. And you get to see the violence in that relationship progress as Lou and Jackie's toxic relationship progresses as well. And it's not a great one, because Jackie's homeless and is like bumming it there with Lou. And that's about the correct speed of a lesbian relationship. You sleep together once, now you're in a relationship. Like,
like, what is she going to do? Let her stay living on the streets? No.
Also, it's kind of, yeah, like, Jackie is this homeless character who's bumming it from Oklahoma. And, she has nowhere to stay. So she immediately fucks JJ. And then she immediately fucks Lou. Like, it's, shout out to Jackie. You know, shout out to chaotic bisexuals everywhere. This movie's for you and about you.
You're the lifeblood of this community.
But yeah, and another thing I really liked about this movie is that Rose Glass is more of like a show versus tell. There's a lot of like context that you have to be paying attention to in the story to figure out who is who and what is what.
Yeah.
Like, what now?
I was gonna say, watch it in theaters for real.
Oh yes. And we'll get to that scene later. I just don't want to spoil it. Well, I've been spoiling it, but if you wanted a spoiler free, you already know not to come here. there was like a very clear decision with each character that, you know, there's no hand holding for anyone in this movie, and you have to be ready to go on that ride, because right after she starts doing steroids, shit literally hits the fan. Brain hits the fan. Like, these toxic relationships all take like they all explode on each other, and you get to see the violence of what that really means. And all of these characters are turned inside out by their like decisions, you know, like these really, really bad, fucked up decisions that each character is making. And you're mad at everyone because everyone's just making everything worse for themselves. And that's actually really fun and entertaining to watch. So what did you think about this movie?
Okay, so my initial reaction to this movie was like, I've never been so scared in my life.
Yes.
And like, you know me, I love horror film. And it doesn't scare me. I enjoy watching horror film. This was the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life. Because like you said, like, people are making wild decisions, but I also feel like they're sort of forced into a lot of decisions, because mm-hmm. the whole movie as a concept is, what would you do for love, right? It's like, what would Kristen Stewart, and you're right, we just use the names of the actors, I don't know their names,
what Lou, would they, Jackie.
What would Lou and Jackie do for each other, and what would her sister, who's being abused by this guy, continue to put up with for love? And then the dad, his love for, like, guns and money, you know, like, what would you do? You would do all kinds of fucked up shit. And I think that really got in my head, because there was moments where I was like, would I do, not everything in the movie, yeah, but like some of those things, I'm like, I can see myself doing that. And that's scary. It's scary to, like, connect with any of these characters. And that's what you do when you're in a movie, right? You put yourself in their shoes, you connect with them. And I was doing that, and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
Because, like, what do you do? Like, someone just shot somebody in front of you, and you love that person. What do you fucking do? You know? I had a conversation afterwards with a bunch of lesbians, and their answers were very different from mine.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they were more sane. Like, they were so reasonable. They're like, I turn them in. Turn them in.
Yeah, that's no, like, they're not ride or dies. They're not ride or dies.
And this film is about ride or dies, you know?
Ooh, yes. Riding so, and dying, shit.
At the same time, yeah. It was dark. It was anxiety-inducing. I've never felt this way. I don't think I can ever watch this movie again, as much as I think it was one of the most beautifully shot, acted, yes, told, hands down, zero cafecitos, in fact, negative cafecitos, because I will be awake for days because of that movie. And, like, but I can't watch it again, at least not in my current emotional state, because that fucked me up. Yeah.
Dude, the thing about this movie, and the thing I want everyone to know, is that, like, you genuinely don't know what is going to happen. Like, after every decision is made, you have no idea what these people are thinking. And it always just turns left. It's more left. Every decision is like, oh my god, that just made me more anxious. Like, right from the moment Jackie starts taking steroids on out, like, once that was normalized in this world, like, everything went with it. And you're just like, oh shit, like, I'm in this car ride, I can't get the fuck out, like, I'm terrified. You generally don't know what's gonna happen next, and that's, like, that's pretty terrifying, because every character is just, like, they were capable, and we all are capable of, like, this really crazy, stupid shit, right? And so, in this movie, you're just like, oh my god, it keeps, like, every decision is worse than the last, you know? So, it's insane. It's slowly getting escalated each time a decision is made, and it's just, you don't know where it's going. Like, I had no idea what was happening next. Like, and that is, and it's, you're on the edge of your seat, because, like, wow, like, 5 fun loses for me too, dude, because, like, I had no idea what was happening. I didn't know every decision was going to be worse than the last. And then at the very end, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the end. What the fuck, dude? She turned into She-Hulk? Like, I...
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in my mind, they're taking the Thelma and Louise approach of absurdity. Like, instead of facing the world, they turn around and drive off of a cliff, right? Things that seem completely absurd, but they, instead of that absurd route, they went the absurd route visually, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, so they definitely took a different turn, like, from what the rest of the movie is, which is based in, like, a little bit more reality. But after the ride that you went through, you're almost grateful. Like, please pick me up, giant woman. Like,
yeah, at that point, it's not even crazy anymore. You're just like, wow, that's fucking wild. But you're just like, you're there for it. Because at this point, like, after everything else that's happened in this movie, you're like, thank God it's only this. Like,
if your gym bro is thinking of doing steroids, show them this movie, because,
oh my god, yes, show them it'll away. Ruin your dreams of being a bodybuilder. You're not, like, and it should, because you shouldn't do steroids. Like, no, people bad.
But yes,
I love this movie. I thought it was an original idea. I thought I love an original concept. I love something that isn't fucking I don't know, intellectual property of like anything else. This was not a fucking remake. It was just an original concept. And it was just like, how crazy and wild can we make this ride? And I really appreciated that. And I appreciate that in all movies, that it ended up being a thriller. And I love me a thriller. And yeah. I love lesbians. And shout out to this movie. Shout out to Rose Glass. I hope Katie O'Brien gets cast.
Yeah,
sorry. Like, no, you're good. Go ahead.
A lesbian movie that's like not about like coming out or like how hard it is to be gay. Like, no, their rest of life is hard.
Yes, the rest of life is hard.
And like they have all of it in this movie.
Being gay is like, as we've always said, is like the least of our problems. It's the rest of the bullshit that's fucked up. And everything was wrong in this. And I just thought it was great. It was great. They didn't shy away from being gay back, and it's like got to be the 90s. It wasn't super cool, but it wasn't like, you know, super scary. It was kind of like, oh, she's protected. Her dad owns all the crime in this fucking town. No one's touching her, even if she is gay. Like, it is what it is. So,
you know, the one thing that like I was expecting was Kristen Stewart's mom to reappear, low-key.
Oh, yes. I was hoping yeah. that was gonna happen.
Because the face-off with the dad, like, the dad being insisting, like, she left, and then her being like, I know you killed my mom. You know, like, the yeah. resolve there was a little iffy, and I was just like, when is this lady gonna return? But she did not. Yeah, mommy issues continued.
Mommy issues continued. attacked. I mean, that and like turning into a giant woman again, I preferred her turning into a giant woman to like more violence, so like at that point you're just like happy that like you're not witnessing a murder. Like, it was hardcore. It didn't shy away from violence at all. It let you see it, and I think that's interesting. Because, you know, I don't know. She didn't shy away from any violence, from any, like, act. And I appreciate that. And again, she didn't hold her hands. She just took it there. Lou's crazy. Let Rose Glass make more films. I loved it. I thought it was great. And I recommend everyone to watch it. Don't watch it with your family. Don't watch it with your mom. Oh my God. Please don't.
My friend asked me if she could watch it with her teenage son. I said,
Hell no. Don't do that.
Don't do that, ma'am.
No. So,
yeah, I was...
Don't traumatize your son.
Yeah, I mean, this movie gave me a wild, wild ride. I think my brain has been trying to recover from it, and I haven't been thinking about it until right now that we started recording this, but...
Really?
Because it just, like, it upset me. It upset me a lot, like, think about love in that way. I think I'm just very sensitive lately, which we're going to have to figure it out on our Patreon with the horoscope reading or whatever, because...
I got you.
I'm so sensitive to everything right now, all the emotions, so got to figure that one out.
Yeah, there's a new moon in Libra, and I think you have a Libra moon. No, wait.
No, I don't. Aquarius, I think.
You're an Aquarius moon. You have a Leo sun, Aquarius moon, Pisces rising, Virgo, Venus. I think your Mercury or something is in Leo.
We'll figure it out.
It's doing something to the rest of your chart because it's a Libra moon. And like, yeah, that whole Leo, Aquarius, Libra thing. Yeah. And then, but your Pisces rising. I think it's definitely your Pisces rising, dude. That's what it is.
We'll see.
We'll do a Patreon on it. I want to do it. That would be fun.
We gotta do some math there. Also, yeah. I'm on like a back on the job search right now, and that is the market right now is insane. I don't understand. Like, just second interviews after second interviews. I'm like, this went well, and then it just doesn't happen. It's the market is wild right now.
People are doing like 4 interviews, 5 interviews, and not getting hired, dude. Like, it's so trash.
It's weird to me. I'm like, why are you doing this? Yeah.
A waste of time.
Yeah, I don't
know. Dude, they need to start paying people for going to interviews at this point, because it's like, dude, like, I spend 5 hours of my life I can't get back, like, just trying to get this job. Like,
it's not even the time, bro. It's more like the hope. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't do that.
String you along.
That's mean. Yeah, so I don't know what's going on in the market right now, but if you need a podcaster for hire, here I am.
Yeah, Mythe is ready, okay? And K capable as fuck, so y'all better get on it.
But yeah, but yeah, as we mentioned 500,000 times, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/CYC podcast, if you guys want to check that out. That pays for like the website and the hosting and the editor. I know I'm the editor, but that pays for the editor. Yeah. And yeah, all kinds of good stuff like that. So please support if you'd like some extra context. I know we don't post that much anymore.
We will though. We got some blind item stuff we can talk about. Everyone loves like chisme, so we chismeando on there.
Oh my god, I can't wait actually.
Yeah.
But also follow us on Instagram at CYC Podcast. You know, we're active enough. Like if you talk to us, we'll talk to you.
Yeah, we don't bite.
Yeah, and if you have any recommendations of like must cover stuff, we're open to that. Hit us up.
We're always taking recommendations
for sure. So anything, any other notes you want to end on?
No, other than do crime.
You know what I've been watching? I've been watching, I forgot to mention this, I've been watching that 23.5 series.
You have?
I have. It's only three episodes in. On YouTube anyways. Apparently it's on Netflix but only in other countries.
Oh, what the fuck.
Yeah, so I've been watching it episode by episode. It comes out like Fridays, I think. It's cute. Mm-hmm. It's like cute nerdy. It's not The Gap, it's not that serious, but it's it's very like dorky cutesy
kind of
friends,
shit. Yeah.
To friends to lovers, slow burn. I like it. I think it's very, it's a cute little thing to watch on the weekends, you know.
Ooh, I'm gonna get on it because I've been, I need something other to watch than, I don't know, straight people.
Oh, this dark shit.
Oh, but there's a new show. Anyways, we'll talk about this on Patreon. It's like,
All right, fair enough. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, please leave a review on, whatever you listen to this on to keep us going.
Yes. Hello. 5 stars only, porfies.
My guys.
Bye.